This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. UNICEF has declared the bloody war in Yemen the worst ongoing humanitarian disaster in the world. More than 2 million people are displaced and more than 85,000 children have died from war-induced famine, with millions more people on the brink of death by starvation. Today in Washington, the Senate is debating a resolution under the War Powers Act that would end U.S. support for the Saudi-led campaign in Yemen. As we go live here just after noon, a vote has not yet been held. The resolution was sponsored by Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, along with Republican Senator Mike Lee and Democrat Chris Murphy. On Monday, I spoke with Sanders about the crisis in Yemen and what his resolution does to address it.
What the joint resolution says under the War Powers Act, that the United States will end its participation in the horrific war in Yemen led by Saudi Arabia. And that if this resolution is passed, all American military involvement will end in 30 days. That's what the resolution says. More and more people in this country understand that what's going on in Yemen is an unspeakable humanitarian crisis, the worst in the world right now. We're talking about 85,000 children over the last 3 years as a result of the Saudi-led intervention in Yemen's civil war. 85,000 children have already starved to death, and the United Nations tells us that millions are in imminent danger of starvation. There are 10,000 outbreaks of cholera every single week. So this is a country that is falling apart. Its economy is falling apart. People are starving to death. They're facing famine. We have got to do everything that we can to stop the support of bombing that country and move toward peace and reconstruction.
Senator, as you mentioned, this is actually the second time that you've put forward this resolution, and the political winds have shifted a little bit. And it seems like one of the reasons that you may be able to get more Republican support now is because of anger over the way the Trump administration and the White House have dealt with the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. So, you know, is this a way to say, okay, here's this resolution that we have that we firmly believe in, and here's this other sort of, you know, only tangentially related event, and we're going to make political hay while we can?
No, I wouldn't phrase it that way. It's not tangentially related. What happened is that a dissident Saudi journalist, Jamal Khashoggi, came into the Saudi consulate in Turkey, and he was murdered in cold blood. His body was dismembered. And very few people have any doubt that this was ordered by the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman. In other words, you have the leader of Saudi Arabia in the most horrific manner killing a dissident who, by the way, was living in the United States and a columnist for the Washington Post. And I think what that did is expose the nature of the Saudi government in a very brutal way. You're dealing now, and I think people understand it, with a despotic government which kills its dissidents, which tolerates no dissent in the country, which is anti-democratic to the extreme, which treats women as third-class citizens. So the murder of Khashoggi, I think, just made it abundantly clear as to the nature of this regime. And then people say, well, why are we following their lead? Why are we participating in their intervention in the Yemen civil war? And I think that's a key factor in bringing about changes in the views of a number of Republicans and Democrats as well.
But you do have people like Lindsey Graham saying, look, I don't actually agree with this resolution, but I'm going to vote for it, at least in this first vote, because I'm so angry about the way this has all unfolded with Khashoggi and the White House's response.
Lindsey Graham can't speak for himself, but I think that the murder of Khashoggi has made it clear that we're dealing with a despotic, dishonest regime, and that many people say, why are we following their lead in a war which is causing so much destruction to the people of Yemen? And the third area, where some of the consistent conservatives, people like Mike Lee and others, have been very clear about for a number of years, along with many of us who are progressives. And that is the Constitution of the United States is very clear. It is the United States Congress, not the president, who decides when this country goes to war. And for many, many years, under Republican presidents, under Democratic presidents, Congress has abdicated that responsibility. And I would suggest to you, having done that, it's a great disservice to this country. If Congress had been more involved in taking a look at the war in Iraq or the war in Vietnam, this country and the world would be very different places. So I think what you're also seeing here is a desire on the part of many of us to say, hey, Mr. President, no matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican, the Constitution does not allow you to take us to war. That has to be something debated and voted upon by the Congress. So I think you're looking at three issues. Number one, the horrific humanitarian crisis, which to me is the most pressing issue. Number two, the despotic nature of the Saudi government and why we should be partnering with them in a terrible, unnecessary war. And thirdly, Congress reasserting its desire to take control, to do what the Constitution mandates that they do.
Senator Sanders, UNICEF has declared this conflict in Yemen the worst humanitarian crisis in the world, and you've mentioned some of the appalling statistics. In pulling out U.S. involvement, I mean, obviously that won't fix everything. Is there more that you think the U.S. should be doing?
Of course. Of course. And what we have got to do is, number one, work with our allies all over the world to bring the warring parties in the region together for a long-term peace agreement, and then have the United Nations and countries around the world begin the process of helping to rebuild the economy in Yemen, which has been destroyed, and to make sure that there's immediate humanitarian assistance. So we have to make sure that people do not starve immediately. Long term, we have to rebuild their economy, because right now, even if people have access to food, they can't afford it because the economy has been shattered. But the world cannot turn its back on this issue. Yemen is a poor country, has always been a poor country. But since the Saudi-led intervention, I mean, it is now a humanitarian disaster, and as you mentioned, the worst in the world.
So what about the politics of this? You've brought forth this tripartisan joint resolution. I understand that this week you're expecting to debate it in the Senate. Then it has to obviously go to the still GOP-controlled House for now. So what's the timeline that you're thinking is realistic for this and the politics of it?
Look, if we pass it in the Senate, that in itself will be a major shot across the bow in making it clear how the Congress feels about this terrible war. There is, I believe, the votes in the House to pass this amendment. And many of our allies in the House are working hard to demand that they get a vote on it. Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, is, as I understand it, not sympathetic, and in an undemocratic way is trying to keep this resolution from coming to the floor of the House. But we have a number of people there, Democrats and some Republicans, who understand the importance of it. And if we can pass it in the Senate, they will fight to get it on the House.
And then will you bring it back up in January if it doesn't get to a floor vote in the House before the new House takes
control? Yes. This is an issue that I am quite confident the new Democratic leadership coming to power in the House will support. I think if we can't get it done now, and I hope that we can, certainly we will bring it up again in January.
Let me just ask you one more question before I let you go. So as you've mentioned, this resolution relies on the War Powers Act. Mm-hmm. Are there unforeseen consequences of this resolution that could play out in other ways and other places that the U.S. is involved in armed conflicts?
Well, it's not unforeseen consequences. It is reestablishing the congressional role that the Constitution provides in terms of warmaking. And I think for too long, Congress has turned its back on that responsibility. And I think as a nation, we do nowhere near enough in terms of having a public discussion of what our military posture should be, what our foreign policy should be. We don't talk about it enough. We are now spending $700 billion a year on the military. Does that make sense when that is more than the next 10 countries combined? I think we need to have that type of discussion. So I think it is a very positive step that Congress, regardless of what one's point of view may be, if somebody wants to vote for U.S. participation in the war in Yemen, they have every right to do so. But cast that vote. Don't let the president do it, and you turn your back. So I think it is a very good sign that Congress is now prepared to be more involved in foreign and military policy.
Do you trust Congress to be making those decisions?
I would prefer Congress than any. I mean, I think this is what the Constitution was about, what our founders wrote. And they felt it more appropriate for people, representatives, senators, and members of the House who were closer to the people to be making those awesome decisions, horrible decisions about whether you go to war or not, rather than one person sitting in the White House. Yes, I do believe that.
Independent Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who along with Utah Republican Mike Lee and Connecticut Democrat Chris Murphy, has introduced a joint resolution to end U.S. support for the Saudi-led war in Yemen. Senator Sanders, thanks very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you, Jane. Take care.
That was Senator Bernie Sanders, and I spoke with him on Monday. The Senate is likely to vote on the resolution later today. We promise we'll keep you posted.